Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. I'm honored to introduce the captivating Christopher Panayiotou. Chris is a respected financial author, podcaster, and certified financial planner. He has the financial framework that will take you from compoundingly clueless to monetarily magnificent. We got connected through a mutual friend as we both have Crohn's disease and know that the biggest investment is in yourself because health is wealth. Despite the adversity, Chris is a character, so you guys will get some entertainment along with some invaluable education that can change the entire trajectory of your life. Thanks for joining us today, Chris.
Dan, there is no place I would rather be. I am honored to be here. I'm excited to be here. And whether we talk about fitness, finance, Crohn's, anything in between, I am ready for it. And your listeners will be entertained. I can guarantee that.
Yes, they will, man. So, man, I just want to start right into your backstory because you have a rich story with a lot of twists and turns in there. So I'm interested to hear more about those experiences, but also the struggles that shaped you into who you are today.
Sure. So where would you like me to begin? Would you want me to begin with way back in the day with my Crohn's, with my professional journey, with fitness? Where would you like me to start? And I will go from there.
Let's start with the Crohn's. Let's get that. Yeah.
So with Crohn's disease, and remind me again, when were you diagnosed? You were diagnosed later than I was, but how old?
I was diagnosed in 2015 and I was 16 at the time.
Okay. Which, that's still early for a diagnosis for Crohn's, because most people, everyone is born with Crohn's. As a side note, I learned this early on, but it doesn't rear its ugly head until most people are in their early to mid 30s. And by that time, it's compounded, not to use a financial term, but it's compounded to a point where then you're just playing maintenance the rest of your life. And, you know, being a man of faith, you know, I was born and raised Presbyterian. I believe God blessed me with Crohn's early on. I was diagnosed when I was 4. And so I don't really know what life is like without it. And, you know, I don't remember everything when I was 4. My head was the same size that it was now. So that's not a compliment. But other than that, my memory is a little fuzzy. And I remember the doctor telling my family that, and you've heard this with Crohn's, you won't be able to, and as this is being recorded in December, join in the reindeer games, so to speak. You know, you won't be able to play sports. You might have stunted growth. You might be small and all these things. And at 4, you don't have the vocabulary to basically take this guy to school. But I knew in my heart that I wasn't going to have that. And, you know, uniquely, when I was diagnosed with Crohn's and given that first, no, you can't do that, that was the first moment in life where I said, I was told no. And I said to myself, I'm going to prove that person in that circumstance wrong. And so the bummer though with that was throughout my childhood and even my teenage years, I was losing the battle to Crohn's. You know, like I didn't have to have surgery. I don't have a poop bag dangling off my leg. You know, God thank you for that, knock on wood. But there were moments where it flared up, and it was defeating because I kept asking God, and I asked for Santa, like, hey, for Christmas, I want to be healthy. That was my thing, and I never got it. And so, you know, it wasn't until my sophomore year in high school when I said, screw it, I'm either going to die trying or I'm going to be healthy. I'm done being made fun of. I'm done not knowing, not being what I know I can be. And frankly, I put it aside and I'm like, I'm forever done with fucking around. And obviously I didn't die. I got healthy. And you know my story. I went from just everyday fitness to powerlifting to competing in drug-free bodybuilding. And ever since I committed to that life, I've been completely in remission with Crohn's disease. So Crohn's teaches you a lot about one, putting life into perspective. What is it? You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. There were times that Crohn's was a huge blessing to me. And in some cases, the biggest blessings, because it taught me the work ethic and mentality that I have now. And if I wasn't blessed with Crohn's, I don't think I would have the success I have today.
Right. Man, it's crazy how that adversity can turn into an advantage. And, you know, something that helped me early on is Marcus Aurelius diving into those Stoicism books. And he said the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. And when you're from 4 years old and that's all you know, it's like you have this massive chip on your shoulder to not go in the direction that everyone's saying that you're gonna go in, and you're feeling that pain, and there's just always this resistance. And so the obstacle becomes the way. You have to go through it and figure out what you're really made of, and that's exactly what you did. So I'd love to hear what happened next as you healed yourself, and now you're feeling good. You can obviously do more things now that your health is in order. Where did things kind of take off from there?
So I'm going to take us like just one step back before it got better. So sophomore year, high school, I get healthy during that summer.
Okay.
And then I was introduced to the gym at the beginning of my junior year in high school. And I just caught the comprehensive fitness bug. Like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go into CrossFit, or I'm going to go into powerlifting, or I'm going to go into bodybuilding or track and field or whatever. I just loved the feeling of weights in my hand. I loved the progression. I knew pain equals gain. And so I fell in love with that. That being said, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And at 17, I think my fitness routine, I mean, it's wild. I would, after school, go to the gym and I would do just some huge circuit set. So I would hit every machine 3 times. And then I would go and run our golf course, Chambers Bay, after that, which is like, you know, 3 miles, but it's super uphill in a lot of ways. And so that's like 3.5 hours of working out every day. And I was hooked. And then I started understanding like the different niches of fitness. And so I loved lifting heavy weight, and I started putting on some size, not the best size, got into powerlifting. And that dream was shattered when Brian Shaw came to University of Oregon, which is where I went, and he gave a powerlifting expedition. And I'll never forget it. He grabbed the 130-pound dumbbells with 3 fingers, and he's explaining what to do. Like it's this little clip, like it's a little toothpick. And I'm going, I don't have that. You know, his forearm was larger than my quad. And so then I discovered drug-free bodybuilding. And that's when I understood kind of not my calling, but I understood my lane in the world of fitness. But to get to that point, I had to go through a ton of trial and error within myself. No one was telling me what to do. Like, I was all in. So now that you know the struggle and success of how I got to my fitness journey after my Crohn's was conquered, I took that mental model And I applied it to my business when I started it out of my apartment, May 12th of 2015. I said, oh, I'll either die trying or become successful in fitness. It's the exact same mental model. But actually, in a lot of ways, it's a lot easier because it's more mental stress than anything. But that's also a lot more difficult because, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, the first couple of years, if anyone started a business or a podcast and you're trying to make money off of it, like, it's hard. It is ruthlessly hard. So,
yeah. So in those early stages, like, that's where you're kind of just figuring things out, getting your teeth kicked in a little bit, as we all do as entrepreneurs. How did you navigate those ups and downs? Because I know for me, like, stress is one of the biggest triggers that brings on the Crohn's. And if you're recently getting back and healing yourself, how did you make sure that that heavy stress didn't impact your health?
Man, that's a good question. So the first thing that I want to say is a saying that, and my listeners will just, they'll roll their eyes when they hear this because they hear it all the time, but compounding works in all aspects of your life. And when it came to fitness, like, there is no way that I could have done, there's no way I could do things today that, like, you know, 15 years ago, my starting self could have begun to fathom. Okay. Not quite as strong as I was when I was powerlifting, but I'm also not, like, just fat. But, you know, for me, you build up that base and then your base keeps improving. And so, you know, yeah, you can put on stress, but it's all relative, because if you're used to it and you callous that, then you're going to be okay. I'm a unique character in the fact that I actually thrive best when my back is against the wall. You know, ever since, you know, my father's no longer in my life, we don't have a relationship, and I'm totally okay with that. But when all of that triggered, I realized very quickly through counseling, right, there's three types of people: flight, fight or freeze. And I'm a fighter, and I just put my head down and I just block everything else out and I go. And I think when you keep your fitness up, that you start practicing principles that you can apply to every other aspect of your life. Cause fitness, it's black and white, right? If you're running, you're putting stress on your aerobic system. If you're lifting, you're putting a ton of stress on your anaerobic system, your muscle building system. And then when you are in a sales meeting and you need to close the client, okay, and you know if you don't close the client, you don't eat, it's no different than the same stresses over here. And then you just apply it, right, to your professional life, but very similar to fitness, you got to keep the reps up. You don't just run one time in your life and you're good. You run every day, or you lift every day, or you lift more consistently. That's probably a better way to say it. No different than sales, no different than marketing, no different than hosting a podcast, no different than running a business or writing financial plans for clients. You got to keep the reps consistent. It's got to be a systematic thing. And then over time, you're going to look back. Like, let me ask you this, Dan. So how long have you been doing the show?
Since April this year.
Okay, April this year, which probably seems like an eternity, okay? Right? Yeah. And so you, and tell me if this is correct, would you say there were things in April that you were really stressed out about that nowadays you could basically do it in your sleep? And you ask yourself, I was stressed about that?
Oh, yeah.
Right? All the You've time. Had moments yeah. like that.
Yeah.
And the reason why I bring that up, so this is, and I totally made this one up, I call it the boomerang effect, or the boomerang technique. So what I mean by that is when you throw a boomerang, it goes out and it comes back. So for me, when I'm in a stressful moment in my life, I boomerang myself forward saying, okay, in 5 years, am I going to be able to look back and go, dude, I was stressed about that. But then when the boomerang comes back, I realize, Well, if I can get over that stress in 5 years, why don't I just get it out of the way now? And you just flip the switch and you move. So it's a really powerful technique that I have worked on using for years. And frankly, it's only been the last year or two that I don't want to say I've mastered it, but I've gotten really good at it. And look, man, you and I know this. If your listeners have an autoimmune disease and you're doing all of the things, and sometimes your body's just going to cave. Your body's just going to cave. Mine caved actually back in September of 2023, this year, a couple months ago. I don't know if it was bad food, sushi, or diarrhea, hemorrhoids or whatever, but like I ended up losing like almost half of my blood supply. And it was just this freak thing. And I remember that Monday night, I'm at the ER and my wife sends me a video of my daughter. And cause it was bath time, whatever. And the video said something along the lines of, hey we hope you're doing better. Hope you're home soon. And granted, when you've lost almost half your blood, your mind's going other places. And I just broke down and that's okay. Because even like the strongest men and women out there have those moments. But then after that, it's what you do with it. And after that moment, I got fucking mad, like enraged, because I couldn't control what happened. But I am now going to do that much more to the best of my abilities to make sure that I'm not away from my daughter again. Because and you don't know this now, but when you are a parent someday, if you choose to be one, and you go back and listen to this episode and think about that and being away from your daughter or son, and you can't help them in that moment, you will know exactly how I felt, and the motivation will crank up 10 times. So even in that, there is a blessing.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that vulnerable moment, because I know that's going to impact a lot of parents out there as well that, could be doing a little bit more. And then they hear that perspective. You don't have to wait until something happens. I'm not saying that you waited, but things happen. It could happen tomorrow for either one of us. And so just like anyone listening, so why not be that person today? Why not step up your game today and do those things that you want? Throw the boomerang out there, see what you can do in 5 years, and then start taking action today. I love that analogy too, because I've never heard that before, but I know I'm going to start stepping in and throwing the boomerang in my life and just taking these big swings now, because, if you're going to do anything great, you have to take the big swings, but you have to be okay with missing some of those swings as well. And, I can't say that I've hit every swing that I've taken. I'm sure you haven't either. So it's just a really interesting thing, and I'm glad that you brought it up. And, really like embodying that EMG philosophy, the title of this show, I heard you talk about the sweat and tears of those early days in your business. And I'd just love for you to talk about, like, as an entrepreneur, like, what was that like, especially in the finance space?
Yeah. So if I summed it up in one sentence, I would say it was heaven and hell all at the same time. Now, put finance aside for a second and just use any business. Some businesses and some sales are a lot more straightforward than others. So I'm not degrading any car salesman out there, but if you go to a car dealership, it's pretty obvious why someone is there. They want to buy a car. Like, and frankly, you buy the car, and is this going to be a car for the rest of someone's life? No, it's going to be a long-term rider, but probably not forever. So if that's the case, I would say that's not nearly as tough of a sale as like a CPA or an estate attorney or a financial planner where, when clients come on board with us, I mean, I kind of joke till death do us part. I'm not joking. That is a lifelong thing of planning 30, 40, and in some cases, probably 50 or 60 years for someone's monetary success. But I bring that up with, regardless of what business you're in, the first couple of years are going to suck. Now, going back to my situation, let's just face it. You start calling people and say, hey, I'm 23 years old. I'm working out of my apartment. And I'm a, at the time, a financial advisor before I got my certified financial planning boards certificate. And trust me, with your entire financial livelihood that you've saved up, it's a really tough sale. That's a really tough sale to achieve. And so it took, most businesses, I would say, take about 3 years to really start cranking. And there was an article I read by Michael Kitzes, who is in our industry. And he's a, I would say, a celebrity-like figure in our industry. And he wrote this article called The Rule of Three. So in the first year, as a planner, you become known. The second year, you become trusted, because frankly, you're not out of business. The third year, referrals come in from what he would call guinea pig clients from year one. And then year four and afterwards, compounding takes effect and it's game over. Now, that took a lot longer for me. That probably took 5 years for me to really get going. But the first 2.5, it was tough, man. I mean, what I would do was I would, Monday through Friday, I would get up at 4:15. I would say my morning prayers. I would go to the gym. I would clang and bang. So I'd get there at 4:45. I'd work out. I'd get to my office, suited up, all ready to rock by 6:30. Research for an hour and a half. The second 8 a.m. happens, I'm either making calls or having meetings, and I had no free time. I told myself I will not waste a second of my time. And then, you know, you eat at the office. When people are like, oh, lunch break? I don't know what that is. Like that never happened for me. And then when everyone else was going home at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, I would go to a networking event, bust my ass, get people on the phone, on their phones to schedule them. And then I'd go home and I would research until my head hit the pillow. And I would do that forever. And in some cases, I was so tired, I would just come back to the office and just sleep on my conference room chairs, because you have to be fully invested if you're going to want to make it in a business, especially in the early years. And you can't consistently do that. I mean, like, you can't. Like, my wife would kill me if I did that. And my daughter, she wouldn't even know who her father was. But especially for your listeners that are in their early 20s, or even especially younger or mid-20s, hell, regardless, if you are single and you're just trying to get out there and make a name for yourself, you have no excuse to do exactly what I did. And I can guarantee you, you look forward a decade, you will realize, man, I took a decade of my life and I committed to it and reinvested in it. And I sacrificed for another 50 or 60 years of just, I mean, financial freedom is an understatement of what you will be able to achieve.
Man, that's inspiring for me right now, because I feel like I'm in the fires and I'm just like constantly learning new things. I'm doing things that I've never done right now. And, you know, it gets overwhelming, I'm not gonna lie. And, you know, I'm just trying to take one day at a time, one step in front of the other. I know my end goal, my vision, and I'm trying to strive towards that the best I can. But I will say, with everything that's going on, it does get heavy sometimes. And, you know, having good people like you to talk to, having good, healthy habits and routines, you know, those things really help. But, you know, there's no way around that, like, season of grind, especially that it can be 5 years even. Like, I've had Nova Fusion. It hasn't been Nova Fusion all the way, but it's been since December 2020. So I'd say I'm about like 3 years probably into it now, two or so, like actually serious with everything. And, you know, now is the time where it's like picking up heavy and I have the momentum finally. And it's like, once you get momentum, you can't let that go, because it's going to be really hard to get. So I am just continuing to pound it out every single day, like you just said. And, you know, it does give me hope and inspiration that, hey, this guy did it. I know other people that did it. I just got to stay the course. Like, there's a common theme here.
Well, so you've done, the Tough Mudders or Warrior Dashes, right?
Yeah, Spartan Races. That's what I do.
Spartan Races, okay. So I remember I did a Tough Mudder. That was hell. I mean, that was freaking tough. But yeah, so Spartan races, right? So Spartan race, and just briefly, because I know you've got other questions, but how long is a Spartan race? Because it's a couple miles, right?
Yeah, they got 5K, 10K, 20K. I did the 5 and 10K this year.
Okay, you did the 5 and 10. Are you going to do the 20?
Next year, yep.
Okay, so you're probably training for it. So let's say, and was the 10 pretty tough for you? Like, was it like, whew, this is a lot?
The 5K last year was worse because it was my first one ever doing it. The 10K, I was 3 minutes after my first 5K. So I basically did double the distance and same amount of time.
Okay, so let's use the 5K as an example. Was there a moment where you're just like, bro, this thing is grueling? Like, you're questioning, why did I start this? Why did I do it in the first place? Why am I still doing this? And guess what? I don't know when that moment was, but you asked yourself those things, but the primal instinct of you as an entrepreneur was to go, okay, I can have all those feelings, but I've got to just go. And you finished. And now look at you, you did your 10K in almost the same amount of time as your 5K. Now, don't expect the same for the 20K, but you now know all of these things and you're set up where, okay, your 20K, yeah, is it going to be tough? Of course it is. Is it going to be doable? Yeah, because you've built up the callus in your mentality. So just take that mentality of your Spartan races and apply it to your business, apply it to your podcast. You know, everyone has that one thing that they fell in love with early on in their life. And unfortunately, as adults, we force people to get into corporate or the next job. And you basically forget what got you there. And you have to take that mental model of the nostalgic love of whatever it is that you were doing or already are doing currently, and you just apply it to your career or your pursuit and your passion of podcasting or whatever the case may be. And then you realize, oh my gosh, like, it's just, life's a choice. You just flip the life switch on in the positive way and you're good. I mean, it really is that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. We can always flip the switch. And that's why I love alter egos, actually, because, you know, I had to separate from Dan and step into Nova. And that's what I'm doing now. Like, Dan was this shy guy. He didn't talk to people. He didn't speak up. He was very much in pain because his illness was taking over his life. But I had to separate from that. I had to make a decision and a commitment and follow that up with action. And that's what it is, guys. So, you know, all of us can do these things that we're talking about. It's just about taking that first step and the consistency that you mentioned earlier, because nothing gets done without consistency. But when you get consistency, you get momentum, and it just becomes this snowball effect. So, man, that's what happened to you with your career, right? We're talking about these 5 years. What happened after that 5 years?
Okay, so, you know, it's interesting. So 2015, I start, and 2018 was the first year where I felt, okay, the revenue is it's starting to turn and compound, which, spoiler, actually, I haven't said this on any other shows, but my second book coming out, Capitalize Your Sales, we might tweak the title a little bit. I actually take people through my career on how I built my business, and I teach my capitalizers how they can sell genuinely and prudently. And you would see in that year, that's when the revenue started to really take off. But I would say it wasn't until 2020 where I was able to look and go, okay, now the steam is really picking up. And after I knew that, it was about 2021, and this is when I started my show, where I realized I had a choice. I could either take my business, put that thing in neutral, just keep growing it. I don't have to do a podcast. I don't have to write a book. I don't have to have any of that. But then this comes to a fork in a road that I had, and I'm really glad God put me in the right direction. So I think it's a disrespect to God or whoever someone believes in, if you decide to go through your entire life with a gift that you've been blessed with by him, and then you take it all for yourself after you're gone. And so I can also tell you that some of my super investors I've interviewed on my show, the common theme is it wasn't until they got to the 2-minute warning of their life that they started giving everything back as far as their knowledge that they've compounded, and they wish they gave it a lot sooner. And so for me, I took that mental model and I've applied it to my own life. And so now, back in 2021, I said, okay, not only am I going to grow my practice and grow my business, as my podcast and my book and my brand and my course, which comes out January 2nd, and my, my whole framework side of things grows as well. Someday I'm going to be able to look back, and on Judgment Day, I can look at the good Lord and say, look, I tried so hard to give everything that you've blessed me with to everyone, and I hope that's enough.
Man, that's such a powerful message for anyone listening, because we all have a special gift that is meant to be given away. And so, like, that's why we have the gift. And man, like, that just got me thinking, like, oh, well, what's my gift? How can I continue to share that? And so if you guys are listening, I really encourage you to think about what is that one thing that you can continue to give for the rest of your life, continue to make a positive contribution on society. And that's the legacy, right? I know you talk about the legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, legacy is huge, man. I mean, it's one of those things where... And you know what, actually, before we even get into legacy, I want to pause for a second, because I know that the good Lord blessed me with people skills. Like, I love people. I love communicating. I love sales. I love what I do as a professional financial planner. I happen to love podcast hosting because I like people. And I would say to your listeners that have not every quality, but like certain qualities that are extroverted, you need to do everything in your power to turn around and help those that are introverted get their gift out. Mm. And it's all about pulling out the greatness in people. That is such a gross sentence that came out of my mouth, because that is like such an influencer type of thing, but it's the honest to God truth. You know, like if Dan, hypothetically, you came to me and I just know that you've got so much greatness within you, which I obviously know that. But unlike right now, you either don't have the confidence to get it out, or you may have the confidence, but you just simply may not know the road.
Right.
I would do everything in my power to reach behind, pull you up to the front and go, you know, people, right? This is another guy that you need to have in your quiver. And just by doing that, I would give someone like you, hypothetically you, a platform to take off, and then they catch that bug. We call it the capitalized bug. Like, that is what being a capitalizer is all about. That is what it's all about. You become ruthlessly obsessed with something, you commit your life to it, and then you give it away to those that you love. And what's really cool is, I mean, unless you're just an absolute asshole, there's a good chance I love you. There's a really good chance I love you. Like, there's no middle ground. And so whether it's my fans, my clients, my friends, my family, my business partners, you, your listeners, your audience, it doesn't matter. I know what I love. I'm giving that away. I've been blessed to be able to afford it, right? Because financially, this might come as a shocker to you. You can't do all of this if you're just dead ass broke, but it doesn't require a lot of money.
Right.
It doesn't. And you've told me your struggles with that. I mean, you're absolutely kicking ass right now. And yeah, you might have spent a little money to get Nova and your podcast going. You didn't break the bank.
Right.
And there's so many people out there that are listening to your show that I hope you get the motivation and inspiration to either do what I'm doing, not exactly what I'm doing, because you're not going to love it to the extent that I would in the maybe characterization that I will. But find what you love, or if you already have that, turn around and lift someone up and put them on the pedestal that they wouldn't otherwise have. Or if you're one of those nervous people, ask someone that is in that position, hey, I'm just really nervous, but I want to change myself. Can you please just take 5 minutes and guide me in the right direction?
Man, that is the strongest thing you can do, as well as asking for help. Like, when if someone were to ask me for help, I'd be like, hell yeah, I want to help you. Like, it makes me feel good to help you. And so, like, that's like asking for help. Like, we all, I don't want to say we all, but a lot of times, like, that we think that there's insecurities with that, or we're less of a person because we need help. And no, it's the total opposite. We're stronger together. And you know, you talking just now reminded me of Kobe Bryant, one of my favorite human beings ever. And, you know, it was saying the definition of greatness is inspiring those around you to step into their greatness. And that's what Kobe did on the court, off the court, as a father as well. Man, I was loving his second chapter, and just breaks my heart to think about it. But we talk yeah. about it to continue the legend, to continue the positive impact that he was creating. And so, like, what you're doing, you're inspiring other people with your greatness, your own unique greatness, and you're giving it back. And that just, it just all comes full circle. So I just love that we're having this exact conversation right now.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, you know, I appreciate the flattery. Did you watch the Last Dance with Michael Jordan?
Loved it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, dude, I am like the worst basketball player of all time, and it got me pumped. Like, I'm 5'11", 190, like my vertical. I mean, I might be able to jump over this remote on a good day. And after watching that, I'm like, dude, I'm going to the NBA at 32. Like, I'm coming off the bench. But on a serious note, there was that moment where Michael Jordan broke down and he was saying something along the lines of, look, guys, I don't have to do this, but someone like that, who objectively is going to go down as one of, if not the greatest basketball players of all time. And he said in that video, and I could feel it, I'm not comparing myself to Michael Jordan. Okay, even though, you know, of course, we look very similar and
very handsome guys.
Very handsome guys, right? But, you know, Michael Jordan was basically saying, guys, I know the level I can play at, and I am lowering my bar significantly to surround basically like my skill set at that level with everyone else to bring you guys up. And I don't have to do any of this. And that's what, and then he said, break. Like, I can't, because he was breaking down. Because here's a guy that probably could have done infinitely better, but he had to pull everyone else up because he understood the team side of things. But he was so great at it that he probably could have done a lot more. And I remember watching that thinking, I know exactly how he feels. Not in the NBA, obviously, but in like our business, dude. I mean, I have had moments like that where I'm like, guys, I don't have to do squat. Like, think about the podcast, in the books, in the brand, and all like that side of my life. I don't have to do any of it. I don't have to do it. I went and spoke at a high school last year, and I made it crystal clear to these kids. There is a plethora of crap on my desk that I need done, both literal and metaphorical. And I put all that off to the side because I want to help you all succeed. But tell me now, if you don't want me here because you saved me 8 hours and I can get in my car, I can go home and I'll be perfectly comfortable. And you could have heard a pin drop. And I'll tell you what, to those kids' credit, it was one of the best experiences. It was a 2-day seminar. I spoke to like 800 kids in the largest high school in Washington State, seniors, and every single one of them were gracious. And they appreciated it because they knew I wasn't joking. If they're like, yeah, get out of here, I'm out. Figure it out. You're on your own, because I don't need to do this. So I didn't mean to go on that tangent, but I was thinking of Michael Jordan, and talking about Jordan, it gets you hyped, even if you don't even know basketball.
Yeah, and like that was truly the thing that made him great. He came down to make others around him great and be impact players and, find their role. And like that's really like the code of life is just finding out how to do that and bring people along on the journey with you. It's just so inspiring. And you've talked about you've mentioned a few times like you're a man of faith, and that's something that I've really been diving into this year. Like I got my first Bible in February. I have this book called Jesus Calling. I read these passages every day, and it just sets the tone and puts me just it sets everything for the day. Like I feel like I have guidance and direction, and that's something that I was missing in my life. So I'm curious, when did faith get introduced into your life? And you've mentioned it, but like how does it impact you?
Yeah, so that's actually a lot more loaded of a question than you may think. It's a phenomenal question. And so I was born and raised Presbyterian. And, I grew up and went to Sunday school. But let's be really honest, I didn't listen.
Right.
Because as a child, when you're like, hey, we're going to Sunday school, you hear school. And it's like, it's a Sunday. I don't want school on a Sunday. I don't want school any day, but especially on a Sunday. And so, I kind of went through the motions, didn't really read anything. I was a troublemaker and all that. Nothing big, but just like, you shouldn't do that, Chris. And it wasn't until after my father walked out that I realized that my God was not my father, God is my God. And there were a couple moments after everything went down where it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I knew in my gut the feeling. But I'll tell you what, man. And like I said, 2018, 19, 20, 2021, business was booming, rocking. And then 2022, we had a great year. In 2023, thank God, we're going to have our best year ever. And it only is going to keep on compounding. Next year, I'm super blessed. And I've told myself this, we're going to make $1 million in our business. I can't even begin to tell you how crazy that is for me to say. But I tell you all of that because I'm a big New Year's resolution guy. And I don't use it as, oh my God, new year, new me. I use it as, okay, here's a chance for me to implement something that I can improve for a year. So by the time the year is done, it's ingrained in me. And then I keep compounding more things and more things
I
and
love
more
that.
things. And so my thing was, because I have multiple areas in my life, I have resolutions personally within myself, my business, and then my health. And personally, there was something missing. And also being a dad, especially a girl dad, because I don't know what it's like being a dad to a boy, but I knew, okay, you know what? Someday my business won't be here. 100% of businesses either are sold or go under.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Okay. And maybe someday the podcast isn't here. And these are like years down the road. And someday I won't be able to compete on a bodybuilding stage. I mean, yeah, you can compete, as old as you want, but it's like, I don't really want to be like an 80-year-old with skin just like hanging down and flat. It's like, that ain't going to cut it. But you know what the most important thing is your faith. Because when everything else goes, what do you have? You have your faith. And I started a men's group this year with actually it's crazy. One of my brother's all-time best friends has become one of my best friends. And he believes in God, but he doesn't know much more beyond that. And he's incredibly articulate, brilliantly smart, and an amazing guy. And so you've got a guy who understands that there is a God, but he doesn't quite know what that means for him. And then you've got someone, me, who I've always known this. I was born and raised Presbyterian, but it's like maybe I need to start compounding this skill because this is the greatest skill that I will ever be able to own. And so, how faith has impacted me, I gotta tell you, man, like reading the Bible this year, we just we're just finishing up the book of Mark. And, you know, some of it, like, spoiler alert, Jesus gets nailed to the cross. But like, you know, there are moments in there, and we're gonna be talking about this during our next Bible study session, where you read something and it's that thing in your gut that you know it's more than true. It's like truer than true. And you read it, and it's mind-blowing to me as just, you know, kind of like relearning my Christian faith, how the Lord wrote this thousands of years ago, in some cases. And he knew this all along. And he knows what's in my gut. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in my mind, my heart. And then once you realize you're doing this as a steward of his good word, versus, you know what, I'm going on the gram because of me. I'm building this business because of me. I am, you know, bringing in more money to my household for me. I mean, yeah, it's for your family as well, but like you're part of that. No. It's not because of that. It's all because of the big man. And he could take that from you immediately. So stewardship has been the biggest impact for me. And that's a stewardship of my money, my health, my character, my family, my love. It's all encompassing.
That is, man, for someone that's still learning and getting into all this, like I just took a lot out of that myself, and to take inventory, I guess I could say, on every day. Like I like doing that as well, and just making sure that I'm doing the right things. It's just so powerful. Like just thinking about it, right? Like I don't even like have a follow up because I'm still absorbing. But
yeah,
like I just know how impactful it is, and I've always been an energy guy, and I've always like things are like I like karma and reincarnation, and now I'm like, well, that energy, that same, whatever that is, our soul, spirit, that energy, that's just God. And God is in all of us. And he gives us the strength and we don't have the strength. And he gives us the answers when we're looking for them. But we have to have that vulnerability to say, hey, God, I need help right now. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. And doing that, that can be an uncomfortable, scary thing for people. And it was for me, like, I always felt like I could do everything on my own. I overcame the alcoholic bother. I overcame my illness. I'm like, I got this. Like, it's mm-hmm. me against the world. But no, I had a big reality, just shock this year that, no, you can't do it all alone. People are here. You're supposed to be with these people and grow together. And so that's what I'm doing. And that's why we're having this conversation. So
yeah, man.
I love all of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. So when you get to this point, and okay, that let me backtrack, because that makes it sound like, oh my God, I've cracked the code. I have not cracked the code. But one thing that I found out, and you know, and you mentioned what happened with your father. I've mentioned what's happened with mine. You don't wish that on your worst enemy. I know that about you. I don't wish what happened to me on my worst enemy. I don't. And in fact, actually, that's the Christian way, right? You forgive and you don't forget. That's all, you know, people forget that, right? You forgive, but you don't forget. One of the blessings and curses that came out of my situation is the gift of being able to flip the switch on someone no longer being in my life. And there have been people, some people really close, doesn't matter how long you've been here. You've been in my life for 10, 20 years, compounded it, right? You do one thing that's really major. Guess what? Lights off. And my counselor, we were talking about this actually last night when I went to counseling. He's like, out of my 30 years, I have never counseled someone that has that ever. Like some people, when they're like, oh my God, you're dead to me. And it's like a 14-year-old who like, you know, is mad because his mom shut off Call of Duty and he was on an eight kill streak or something and he hadn't died. No, you don't. For me, when I say it, done. And for me, what people don't understand, and actually now they will because it's on your show, is, you know, the good Lord is bringing better people around. Right? Like, anytime so let's say I don't get a client. There was a time actually earlier this year, could have been a massive client for me. Just being honest, didn't get it. And, you know, the good news is, you know, I'm not broke out of my mind like I was when I started. Like, that would have really sucked. But now I'm like, okay. But I always ask myself, God, what are you protecting me from? So if I can't, if I don't get the client, or if I can't go to an event, or if I, you know, can't record this podcast, like next week, I was supposed to have someone come in, Marcus Collius. He was going to drive up, come on my show, calls me, and he's like, brother, I can't do it. I'm so sorry, but I'm coming in January. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, great. First off, shout out to Marcus. Can't wait to meet you in person. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And have you met him?
Yeah, I haven't. I was actually emailing him before this conversation. So it's hilarious that you're bringing him up right now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, I don't know much about him. He was amazing, but yeah, he just seems like a great dude. But my point was, okay, Tuesday. Wow. I just freed up a whole day. Cause you know, when people come on my show from out of town and they fly in or they drive in, you know, I give them the capitalized treatment, right? Like, you know, I show them the studio and in our headquarters and take them to lunch, take them to dinner, treat them like family. It's kind of like what Rogan does when guests come in. And that's what I'm trying to do, but in the world of finance. And I thought to myself, okay, God, what are you protecting me from on Tuesday? Something, you just freed my schedule up for something. I don't know what. Because as of now, I got nothing on my Tuesday, but I know something is coming and it's going to be great. You got to get in that mentality. And once you have that, people will call you crazy. They'll call you an asshole and they'll call you just a jerk. Let them have it. Let them have it. Yeah. You don't need that. You know, you don't need that. As long as you've got the good Lord, I mean, everything else works. Like, I had to cut a lot of people out this year. And I don't mean to ramble on this, but I actually think this is valuable for your listeners.
Yes.
So I always ask myself after I meet with someone for the first time, and I will always give someone the time of day the first time around. Always.
You did with me. I appreciate that.
Of course. Right. And I'm back. So, you know, you did something right. And I always ask myself, do I want to see this person again? And if a year went by and this person was not in my life, did anything change? And if I don't want to see him again, it ain't going to happen. And then if someone is in my life and I ask them that and literally nothing has changed in that hypothetical year other than like, I didn't see them. Yeah. They're out. And I don't wish ill will on anyone. I genuinely do not. Even my own father. Don't wish ill will. Right? Wish him the best. But he ain't in my life. Okay? I'd hope you would do the same. I mean, I pray that your dad, you know, figures it out. But what I'm not forcing you to do is go, you know what? Eventually you'll go talk to him. The fuck knows what's going through your head or what you went through, man. You know? And you're the only one that's going to be able to figure that out. But here's the cool thing. You got the big man upstairs guiding you. So like, you know who to be guided by. And, you know, and I didn't mean to touch that subject, you know, with your situation. So forgive me because that was forward. But it's one of those things where, you know, people need to get super critical and concentrated with who they are surrounding themselves with. And I know that sounds really brutal, but the second you start cutting that cord, God is going to bless you with, let's just face it. There are people out there that are better. There are better people than other people. Okay. Like, and you and I have met them where you've probably gone on. I mean, look, you're a good looking dude. I'm sure you've been on a ton of dates. You've probably been on dates. You're like, dude, this girl sucks. Like just blanket back to the matter. And people are like, oh my gosh, that's so rude. Or then you got people that go, well, you know, everyone has good quality. No, they don't. Like there's some people that just, unfortunately, it just sucks. And you don't need that, you know? You really don't. And so then the good Lord comes in and says, hey, you know what? Good for you for being a steward of your character, and you know what you are worth. Here's someone that I think would be compatible and worth your time, you know?
Yeah, man, every rejection is more of a redirection to something better. And, you know, they say that this is like the overview of it all, but like we are the five people that we surround ourselves with. And you just explained why, because those can, the habits, the constant, the negativity that just they're always complaining about things. It's like you'll absorb that and you don't need that energy in your life. And so, yeah, cut the cord. You know, there's someone out there that's more in alignment with you, and you know that God is going to open a door to make that connection happen. Just like what happened with us. We got connected through a mutual friend. Shout out to Nick Hutchinson, by the way.
Yes, awesome, yes, dude. Love Nick.
Yeah, but like that's what it is, man. Like we have to do what's best for ourselves and fill our cup first, because if we try to fill from an empty cup, we're going to be doing more damage than good. We're not going to be giving them the right advice. So, or we're not going to just be there for support in the capacity that we could be there. So it's our responsibility to make sure that we, you know, invest in our health. Like that's the number one thing, so we can really be there and be that person that, you know, inspires greatness that we're talking about today. So I love it, man. Like this has been just rolling through. We're almost at our rapid fire here, but I got one more that I want to hit you with, which is typically my final question, but we're switching it up today.
Right.
So, what's been one of the biggest or greatest lessons in your life or piece of advice received that made the biggest impact on you?
I have a few that come to mind. One is a little bit more surface level, but it's also incredibly profound the more I go through life. So when I was 21. My goal was by the time I was 30, through hell or high water, I was going to become a professional drug-free bodybuilder. And I was hitting it hard. I mean, I was just a slave to the iron. And I remember I asked my fitness coach, Katie White, love her to death. This woman is ripped, man. Like if you Googled strong, independent black woman, she is the literal embodiment of this. Like this woman can outlive me. She doesn't even say a word. She's like an assassin, but she's got the heart of an angel. I love Katie to death. And I was asking Katie, what is the best piece of advice you can give me to become a drug-free professional bodybuilder by the time I'm 30? And we're walking out to her car. And as she's getting in the car, she goes, I'm just going to give you the best piece of advice I wish I knew when I was your age. Life's a choice. She gets in, shuts the door, drives away. Now I'm sitting here pissed because I'm like, well, that doesn't give me anything, right? That rings more and more true and valuable to me with every day that passes. That's number one. And as far as the impact, I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. I mean, that could be a whole nother episode. It wasn't really advice, but it was a story, and it's in my book. And my mentor, who out of respect of him, because he likes to, you know, keep low profile and confidential, I'm going to leave his name out of it. But the first couple years in business, I was struggling hard. And it was frustrating because I was doing all of these things that I thought I really shouldn't be doing. You know, like I need a team. I need all of these people so I can focus on the one thing. And to an extent in business, that is true. You want to outsource to maximize your best return on investment. But when you're starting out, that goes out the window. Like you got to figure it out. But it's frustrating. Yeah. It's really frustrating. And I'm going to mess up the quote verbatim. And again, this segment is in my book. But I kept telling my mentor this, and he pulls out of his pocket the story that I wrote in the book. And it's about this man, and this is where I'm going to butcher it. And this is during biblical times, lived in a town, and there was a flood that came. And he asked God over and over and over again, please help us with the flood. Please help us with the flood. Please help us with the flood. No help ever came. So he came, helped basically clean out the town, get rid of the water, built up the city again. And then there was a famine. And he asked for more food and more food. God, please provide us more food. Please provide us more food. Nothing came. He goes out, gets a couple hunters and gatherers, collects everything. And he's the one that coordinated all of it. And then there was a fire. And, again, a lot of things burnt down. He's asking God, please help, please help, please help. Nothing happened. So he goes and basically rebuilds the town. And he kind of became this guy. And so he finally just broke one day. And he's just crying. He's asking God, why have you not sent anything based on my prayers? And then God finally answered him. I did. I sent you. And it hit me really hard, because you've had that moment. I'm sure you've edited your show. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Or, early on in my career, and I'm like, dude, I am so bad at paperwork and admin, but you've got to become an expert at it, because if you're going to go and teach someone, you can't not know what you're doing, or, understanding how a stock works or financial plan or all, like, you've got to figure it all out. And I remember when he told me that story, because I had a chink in the armor of giving up at that moment, almost. And that filled that chink in the armor so fast, and I've never looked back. And so anytime I have that moment, I ask myself, okay, why am I feeling this way? God, give me a sign. And then worst case scenario, I always go back to that story. And that impact has saved me in every aspect of my life.
Man, I love that you shared that, because that was one of my big takeaways when I was reading your book, and I highlighted that. And now the audience is getting a little sneak peek in addition to what we're about to do next. So yes. Man, that was really, like, I heard that and I've never heard it before until I read your book. And I was like, wow, like, I'm like thinking about my life too. It's like, wow, like I've asked for help, but maybe I was the help. So like, that's such a profound idea to really just think about. And similar to the one where, what did she say? Your life is your choice.
Life is a choice.
Life is a choice. Yeah. It's like one of those things that you can just continue to contemplate and get more out of it the more you think about it. So, man, those were two absolute nuggets that you just shared. And now we're going to hit the first ever rapid fire round on EMG transformations. I never do this.
Okay, let's do it, man.
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to close out the conversation with some finance, because who else better to ask than you, man?
Okay. So,
yeah. So what are a few healthy financial habits that everybody should practice?
All right. These are super easy. You need to capitalize your savings, 3 to 6 months of savings in your emergency fund. If you are single, not a lot of responsibility, in a pretty light intensive job physically, so if you slipped a disc or broke an ankle, you could still do it. You probably only need 3 months. If you are the sole breadwinner, and maybe you've got, spouse, a couple kids at home, and you're working construction, and if you slip a disc, you're out for 6 months and you're not making any income, that's where you're probably going to need the 6 month side of things. So you need to make sure that you need to capitalize your savings. You need to capitalize your retirement plan. So if you work for someone, which I would imagine most of your listeners do, and they have a retirement plan, you want to put money up to the match at the very, very least, because that is free money on the table, that if you don't do that, you're not taking it. And then this one's a little bit more broad, and I'm not going to explain too much of it, because I want your listeners to really dig into what I'm saying in this simplistic term. Keep it simple for as long as possible.
Nice. Yeah. And if you're wondering how to do that, get the book, find out more.
Yes.
So now the big scary D word, debt. We all think of bad debt, so I was wondering if you could explain how debt can be used for good and just a brief overview, because again, they can go in the book and learn more.
Yeah. So debt is one of those things that for whatever reason is super controversial. So you've got two ends of the spectrum. You've got the Dave Ramseys in the world, don't even get me started, who's like, all debt is bad, you just need to be debt-free, whatever. And then you've got Robert Kiyosaki, who has actually said some good things about debt, but like, I mean, debt should be the tattoo on his chest, and he loves it. And the answer is actually none of them. Like, there are aspects of it, but it's not comprehensively right. When it comes down to debt, or frankly, any type of interest rate, that's where it stems from. It comes from what that interest rate is. So for example, if you have a debt, whether it's a student loan debt, even credit card, a personal loan, car loan, whatever, if that interest rate is 6% or above, okay, you want to put in at least money up to the match in your 401k. Anything that you earn above and beyond that, you're going to want to hammer those debts out from highest interest rate to lowest up until that 6%. Now, below 6%, what happens? You can then just start increasing your retirement plan, because I know you can't guarantee what's going on with long-term investments, but since 1950, there's never been a 15-year period where stocks, real estate, private equity, hedge funds, business development companies, all of these longer-term investments have actually done less than about 8%, but I'm being more conservative with the 6 number. And so would you rather pay off a 2% loan and earn yourself 2%, or would you rather contribute to your retirement plan and most likely earn around that 6%? I would much rather take that over the 2.
Yeah.
And so it always comes down to the interest rate, period.
Interesting. All right. You guys can run that back if you need to. So
yeah.
53% of adults report that their financial situation makes them anxious. Learn that from your book as well. Do you have any general tips to help someone ease that situation that they may be in?
Well, unfortunately, our industry has inappropriately and incorrectly educated you on how you need to think about money. So in our industry, people will always ask, especially financial advisors, they'll ask, how do you feel about investing? And you back into a portfolio based on your risk tolerance. Now, I could devote a half hour onto why that is full-blown ass. But what I am going to tell you is people are too emotionally attached to their money. And so the best way to remove that, I'm trying not to just like plug my book, but is to understand systematically what you need to do. And so again, I'm just going to use my framework because it's easy. If you've got your 3 to 6 months of savings, by definition, unless you have a need that you're trying to save up for in the coming months, or I would say within 5 years for sure. Okay. By definition, you don't need any more set aside. And so you can risk anything above and beyond that for the future. There's a great investor out there. One of my favorite, his name's Monish Pabrai. And he constantly says, I take no risk so I can take all of the risk. And it's no different in planning. If you've got your money set aside and you're good, by definition, you can risk the rest of that money for the long term because you're good for today. But if you are risking it, in fact, you're not taking any risk because you're just doing what is prudent.
Okay, I got you on that one. Nice. So now the last one here, what is the value of cash? Is it king or is it trash?
Oh, yes. So the answer is neither. So cash is a tool and it's a trading tool. So, you know, in times of absolute peril, people will always say, oh my gosh, cash is king. And then when things are just euphoric, and by things, I mean the economy, people will say, oh my gosh, cash is trash, because you want to keep investing. And, you know, people are just, the madness of crowds just keeps bringing money up and, excuse me, your investments up and up and up. And the answer is neither. Cash is a tool. So when you come to the savings aspect, I think we've beat that horse enough. But when it comes to even your portfolio, so this is kind of cranking it up a little, make it a little technical. So for, not as a planner, but if you are trying to get into investing, like a portfolio of companies, a lot of these people have guardrails. So they'll say, we'll only have up to, I'm making this up, 5% of a portfolio in any stock at any given time. And then we'll have 15% or 10% of our portfolio in cash at all times. Now, why do they do that? Well, cash in the long run is not going to earn you diddly squat. But what it does is it gives you the ability to be nimble, so that if for whatever reason there is an opportunity that comes up, you can snag it. There was a great part in my book, and I forget exactly where it is. Oh yeah, that's another thing. Anyone that's like, oh my gosh, you don't remember what's in your book, dude, you try writing a book and memorizing it and then come back and talk to me, okay? It ain't gonna happen, okay? So Craig Israelson was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. And unfortunately, because he's not that popular, it did not get a ton of traction. And he's the head of finance professor at BYU. And he said a great analogy on my show that he teaches his students. So what is more valuable in, or what's most valuable in a car? The engine, the brakes, or the seatbelt? And it's a funny question, right? Because, you know, most guys will say, oh, dude, the engine. Okay, well, if you don't have any brakes and you don't have a seatbelt, you are going to die. And then actually, historically, a lot of women will say the seatbelt, you know, because nature, nurture, you want to keep yourself safe and all that. Okay, but like, if you don't have an engine and you don't really have it, I mean, I guess you got to have a seatbelt, doesn't really matter. Or you don't have the brakes, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
And so it's the tandem, and it's not an either or, it's an and. And cash is the exact same thing when it comes to one's investment portfolio. It is not, do you have cash or do you not have cash? It's, you have cash and whatever else you are investing in. It's the car analogy. You need all of the car to work.
Yeah. Yeah, and then figuring out what to do with that cash when the right time comes. So I love that.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to capitalize your finances, learn more about this, get the book right now. I'm going to drop that in the show notes so you can easily get that. And so, man, this has been incredibly valuable. Thank you so much for your time today. Before we let you go, let us know how we can support you. Obviously, we got the book, but if you got anything else going on or just something that you're looking forward to, now's the time to let us know.
All right. So for your listeners, okay, a couple ways to get a hold of me and some fun announcements that I'm first announcing on this show. So first, how to get a hold of me. If you want to get a hold of me and you want to follow me, head on over to Instagram, type in my name or type in Cap and Capitalize. You can go on Twitter or excuse me, X, do the same thing, either or, and you can go to LinkedIn. Those are the big three. We don't really do anything else outside of that. If you are wanting to listen to our podcast, Capitalize Your Finances, you can go to Spotify, Apple, or you can go to YouTube if you only wanted to watch the interviews. Now, the special announcement is we are actually coming out with our first ever masterclass on capitalizing your finances, where I take people through 4 hours of video content where I show listeners and fans how to truly capitalize their finances. Because my book is not a picture book, and that drops on January 2nd. If you're following me on Instagram, there will be a link. And if you are lucky enough to be a buddy of Dan and you use his link, you will be getting a 20% discount. So that is a fun little announcement. And then if you ever wanted to become a guest on the show, for whatever reason, it is getting really tight, head on over to Capitalize Podcast. We look at our DMs every single day. We don't respond every single day, but we do our absolute best.
Man, thank you for the generosity and getting us involved over here in the Nova Fusion family. So I appreciate that, man. Chris, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today. You are empowering us with tools to learn and take action to transform the trajectory of our lives and our future generations. You lead by example with your willingness to give back and do the right thing, and humanity is better and brighter because of you. Thank you for impacting us today.
You are more than welcome, and I will come back anytime you need me.
Love to have you back, man.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life? Well, get ready because we have the solution for you. Introducing the Nova Fusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge, the ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive Nova Fusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high-performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money-back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back, so you have absolutely nothing to lose, but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. Go to novafusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.